Yeah. Everything's fine.
If I could draw, I would draw the dog who's in the house that's on fire that says, "This is fine."
This is, that's such a great meme. Everything's fine. This is totally fine. Horrible. It's horrible.
It's unconscionable. It really is.
It really is. And so, I mean, you're probably looking at an inevitable impeachment in the House.
What up, world?
Oh my God, it's been so long.
Welcome.
Yeah, we're back.
To the next episode of the Ameripodcast. Episode 96. Hello.
The big 96.
It's the reciprocal of the sex number.
Of course you are.
That's true. Oh. Miko Rantanen. Doesn't he wear 96?
Yeah, dude. Did you see that ankle? Oh
yes.
My God.
This is not a hockey pod.
Thank you, Kelly. Today is October 24th, 2019. Thursday.
A week away from Halloween.
That's right. We are getting close to Halloween. I am your host, Blake Mannion. We have with us today John Kelly in Colorado. How's it going, sir?
Good. Doing well. How you doing?
Nice to see your face. I'm doing all right. And in the mountains in Colorado, Mr. Anderson, how are you today?
I am just super pumped to be back talking about the rainbows and sunshine and bunny rabbits that we get to talk about today.
Well, if I didn't know you for as long as I have, I would say that you might be colorblind because I don't think we're talking about any of that.
Wait, have I not told you I'm colorblind? did you hear that Trump has announced that we're building a wall in Colorado? Did you guys see this? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I was going to say. It's pretty sweet, isn't it? We're going to get our own wall.
It's so great.
To protect us. I don't know what it's going to protect us from, but we're getting one. That's cool.
He's protecting us from the New Mexicans, man.
Right?
Because they're trying to come up here and smoke our weed.
I saw this amazing meme where they had a Sharpie that on a map where they drew like a line from the border encapsulating New Mexico. Like Trump did with that fucking hurricane going to Alabama with a fucking Sharpie. It was amazing. We live in the worst. Simultaneously, like, this would be so funny if it wasn't so horrifying.
Yeah.
So many of the things that Trump does, it's hilarious. Anyways, sorry.
It's the reason he's popular with his base, man, is because they do think it's
funny.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is some crazy.
Nope.
Attempt to get Colorado tax dollars for the wall.
Nope. The answer is nope. The answer is that he is an old, deranged man in mental decline and forgot where the fucking border was.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, John. He was clearly riffing. He was just off cuff. He's just riffing because in the very next set, he goes, "Oh, and we're not going to build one in Kansas." And you're like, "Oh, it's the next state over." He clearly got his geography messed up in his head. He's an idiot.
Well, we all know he loves his map, so we should send him a complimentary Ameripodcast map of Colorado New Mexico.
Did you see Polis's response?
Yeah, it was really good. I forgot exactly what he said, though. Do you remember?
It's a good thing we have free kindergarten in our state, so at least our kids will learn geography. Something like that.
Yeah, that was good. That was solid work.
That's great.
Good work, Polis.
That's beautiful. Yeah, we're just stopping in to say hello. We're not going to take too much of your time today. We're going to hit it next week in a more serious manner. But we wanted to check in with y'all and talk a little bit about what's going on across the sea.
We deeply apologize about the time we took off, but we had a whistleblower memo to write that
I'm not sorry about it at all.
I mean, that, you know.
Unapologetic.
the whistleblower complaint that we ended up writing seems to have, like, you know, produced a little bit of rumblings in Washington, that was our super secret mission.
the impeachment train seems to be moving.
Oh yeah.
In terms of the Democrats gathering information, in one hand, gathering information through a bunch of different committees, and on the other hand, simultaneously having certain members of the Republican House pulling their hair out over whether or not it's even legal for them to be doing so, which is great. But
did you see who's that fucking guy, Judge Napolitano, I think? I forget his first name, on Fox News. He went on Fox and Friends, I think, this morning, and they were talking about Matt Gaetz and his merry band of motherfuckers going into the goddamn skiff with their goddamn cell phones. And they were why is this happening in secret? And Napolitano was like, because those were the rules that were written by the Republican majority under John Boehner and followed in the Benghazi hearing.
Right.
What are you even doing, people? It was amazing. And then everybody, like, their brains exploded on live television.
It's so clear that they do not give a shit about the decor of the House nor the rules of the House if it's not in their favor. They just don't care.
It's almost like we elected people who didn't believe in the fundamental mission of the institution.
What?
And maybe that was a mistake. We shouldn't have elected all of those goddamn Tea Party motherfuckers in 2010 who turns out didn't give two shits about the budget or the deficit. That still makes me so fucking angry.
Ooh,
anyway, that's not
trillion.
The subject trillion. Of the podcast.
It's okay. It's okay. We like your fire. We like the fire.
and we promise that we will go into all the stuff with impeachment much more in depth next week. But we just wanted to touch on a few things that we thought were kind of the most funny and ridiculous spots in it up to this point.
And I will say, you know, it is like terrifying on one hand, but on the other hand, we are living through crazy history. There will hopefully never be a time like this again in our lifetimes that is like this in American politics.
Right.
And so in some way, like, kind of try and enjoy it like a pig in shit, you know, like this is,
I mean,
fucking bananas.
It is interesting. It's bananas. It's clearly, I think, the most divided country that we've seen historically since right around probably a little before and through Nixon, with Vietnam, civil rights movement,
yeah,
and then Watergate happening. I mean, you see it, but it seems like it's at a much faster pace in the last 2 years than it was drawn out over quite some time in the 60s and the early 70s in the buildup. We're in a crisis mode.
It's like Watergate times social media times Trump stupidity.
Yeah. I will be really interested if we make it through this and I can still read 50 years from now, if my eyes still work and I can see what historians are actually comparing this to Watergate and see how the pieces fall. But that's a different thing altogether too. That's more about history methodology.
Stupid Watergate.
Yeah.
That's what John Oliver calls it. And I think that's pretty appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thought process of what Watergate is, right, is that now that we have Trump in office and he's doing all these things that are, we'll say, questionable at best, right? What is called questionable? Is that what's the tagline, right? What's Trump's Watergate, right? That's that in the popular opinion, I think, across the country, people want a tagline like that, right? They want to be able to point to it and go, see, that's Trump's Watergate. And it's like, oh, there's just too many issues to point at one thing and call it, we'll call it how the Trump shitstorm.
Yeah, and it's not even
we could just call it that.
It's not even just Trump. It's characters like Mulvaney coming out, giving a press conference and saying, we did tell them that they need to do this before we can give them their money, you know? And
deal with it.
I'm so curious to see what the investigation side looks like. You know, when you see like those crime movies and they'll have like the whiteboard or whatever.
With the red string.
And or have you guys seen Narcos? Yeah. Narcos, when they're putting the post-its and the tags of like all the characters in the crime ring for selling cocaine. Like, I just wonder what it looks like on the other side, you know. So curious.
So kind of in that same vein, this has been a question I've had for like a while and I've been ruminating on it and I don't have a very satisfactory answer, but these fucking people seem to be like the dumbest criminals. Like you said with Mulvaney just going out and being like, oh yeah, we totally did the crimes. We did it. We did it. Like we did the crimes. And he obviously just didn't mean to do that. I think because they've been oscillating between we did it and it's fine and no, we didn't do it at all. And he just like forgot what day it was. But
They'll play both narratives until they have to choose one, basically.
And that's just, I think, because they're bad at their jobs and don't have a coherent way of dealing with this right now.
I think there's some people that are bad at their jobs. Some people think, and I think the president thinks that he's above the law and it doesn't matter. And he can flaunt it because he doesn't think that he can be held accountable.
But considering, you know, these people are generally not very good at their jobs, I don't know how we lost to them. You know, like we lost to this group of people.
Oh, yeah.
And they are running our government and we're continuing. It feels like right now we're winning the quote war.
I mean,
and
I think it makes a lot of sense how we lost the election. You know, when you look at how the ad campaigns targeted specific groups of people and the money that was pumped into the system and now all the campaign finance laws that were being broken. I mean, it makes sense and it was close too, but like, I feel you. I do. I'm just saying, I think it makes sense how he got elected. It was bullshit.
I agree. I think that Blake, I think there's a lot of different issues that go into why the Democrats lost the national election, but there's the answer for the Democratic Party is just as much in the mirror as it is then pointing to the other side and saying, look, they're just a bunch of fuck ups. We could do better than that. And we've talked about it a lot on this podcast, sound policies, bringing people together. That's a way to build a Democratic coalition that'll really work. But it's difficult.
I think that's kind of what I'm struggling with a little bit is like how much of it is our fault and how much of it is James Comey wrote a stupid letter a week before the election, plus Russian interference, plus the Electoral College, plus Facebook, plus all of these things. And it's like, were we in a situation where it was a one in, you know, 150 chance and just everything happened to fall for Trump? I mean, literally, it's like 70,000 votes spread across three states and it's different.
Right.
And we have President Clinton. We're undergoing the President Clinton impeachment part two right now instead of Trump. So, you know, because I think there's actually, this has massive consequences going forward. And we have one data point from 2018, but going forward to 2020, it's like, how much do we want to get in our own heads about this? Or how much was it just that, like, this was a unicorn event?
Mm.
And so that's where I'm struggling with, holy fuck, we lost to dumb criminals. But was that because all of these things conspired, you know, pun intended, to elect Trump? Or was it that the Democrats fundamentally need to make changes?
I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think it can be a little bit of both. And I think that's where the answer lies.
Yeah.
You know, there's certainly things that the Democratic Party can do better. But some of the stuff that you listed helped create the perfect storm that brought Trump in. And, you know, I just like to, we can point back again to the Electoral College, and we've had debates on this before, but, you know, no Republican president has won the majority vote in this country since Ronald Reagan. And that just, it just shows, you know.
HW did, didn't he?
Did HW too?
I think
so. In
88? In 88, I think so. Yeah,
he did. You're right. He did. Sorry. Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of what you're looking at. And
point taken. It's like five of the last seven presidential elections have been won by a Democrat in the popular vote.
Like, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think what it shows is a deeper line that, and actually I read this in an op-ed today. I can't remember where it was from, but that, you know, if you can't count on the Republican Party to tear themselves apart during this impeachment. It's very unlikely that it's going to happen, even though it's probably the right course for our country and what we need. It's very unlikely for them to do so, given the kind of trouble that they have in the demographic shifts in this country. They will likely continue to hold on as long as they can with the system that they have.
Yeah, I think that explains the lockstep nature of Republicans behind Trump, because if they split, Trump will take half the party, and then, you know, there will be half the party that are like Never Trumper, Mitt Romney, whatever.
Right.
And it'll destroy the Republican Party. The Republican Party will end. And then
they won't. I don't think they'd be able to even win a national election, say, if Trump got fully impeached. It would destroy the party.
I agree. So I think that's where that's how you understand Republicans in insanity when it comes to like, oh, I didn't read the tweets. And you're like, what do you mean? And so I think, you know, hopefully it's coming. I think that the fact that this thing happened with the Kurds in the context of what happened with Ukraine tells, like, you're really damned in politics when a bad thing happens that reinforces an already existing negative narrative about you. And the fact that the Mueller investigation, despite the fact it failing, set the predicate for the Ukraine scandal, and then you had the betrayal of the Kurds, which I think has made the Republican Party's position on Trump and impeachment wholly untenable, because now you're a traitor, basically. Like, this is it. We're no longer fucking around. The Kurds are going to be ethnically cleansed because Trump decided on a phone call. And you cannot run ostensibly the most powerful country in the world that way and expect to be successful.
Right. Right. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy the way that Trump dealt with the situation in northern Syria and turned his back on Kurdish allies. It's horrible. It's horrible.
It's unconscionable. It really is.
It really is. And so, I mean, you're probably looking at an inevitable impeachment in the House. And we can, I think, discuss next week the further merits and the politics around what will happen in the potential trial in the Senate and further in 2020. But
we should probably touch on all that next week.
Yeah.
You know what we should end on? Yeah, Blake.
I was going to mention Syria a little bit, but we are kind of at our limit.
It shows, I think it shows Trump's colors. Since he's been in office, he's leaned towards what you call strongman politicians and people that are basically authoritarian in international politics. So it's no wonder he would kind of bend under the will of Erdogan and Putin in terms of Syria. That's my opinion on it.
I'll end on this. The Vietnam War, in a lot of ways, was about Germany. And what I mean by that is that we had to, during that period of time, the West Germans were threatening to develop nuclear weapons, which would have been untenable for the Russians, which means that it could have kicked off World War III. What we told Germany was, bro, don't do it. We got you covered. We swear to God, we got you covered. One of the reasons why we could go to Germany and say that is because we had 50,000 people, Americans, die in the jungles of Vietnam for a war that was not a righteous war. However, seen in that greater context, maybe it was a little bit more righteous. And so the fact that we betrayed the Kurds is the opposite example of that, and it will have consequences for decades. It is a unequivocal disaster in American foreign policy and diplomacy. And the fact that this happened is hashtag all roads lead to Putin. That picture of Nancy Pelosi standing up to Donald Trump, the fact he tweeted that out is my favorite tweet he's ever tweeted by 100,000x. That picture is fucking amazing. Nancy Pelosi is a goddamn American hero. She might go down as the most consequential Speaker of the House ever. And I would just personally like to thank Nancy Pelosi. She is my queen. Godspeed, everybody. We're out. Thank you.
That was an end.
I hope that was okay. Sorry, I got it on the momentum.